Bismillah alhamdulillah kuma salatu wassalam ala rasulillah amma ba'd ikhwata liman assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. All praises are due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I beseech Allah to shower his blessings and compassion on our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is also his companions and the majority of believers till the day of recompense. Without wasting our precious time, I supplicate to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the organizers of this August program. The topic has been set to our hearing. It reads, Global Peace and Unity, Islamic Perspective and Solution. So that has been the topic. So I will try to be brief due to the time constraint. When we are talking of global peace and unity, we really need to understand what do we really mean by the topic. Different meanings have been given to peace and unity. Likewise, by the time we want to relate it to Islam, we still need to have a kind of equilibrium, so meeting point where the topic will meet. When we are talking of peace, global peace, having peace in the world, so peace itself, it is a state of freedom from disturbance and interference. It is to experience tranquility, calmness, restfulness, harmony, security and peace of mind. By the time there is no security, by the time there is no harmony, no peace of mind, no tranquility, there is disturbance everywhere, there is insecurity, one cannot even, you know, experience peace of mind. It shows there is no peace there. Likewise, when we are talking about peace, it is a concept of societal friendship and harmony, whereby there won't be anything like violence. Please let us take note. When we are talking of a peaceful world, global peace, we are talking about world, globe, where there won't be wars, there won't be crisis, there won't be conflicts, there won't be violence, there won't be disturbance, there won't be insecurity, among others. There will be freedom. People will live peacefully. This is the kind of global peace we are talking about. I can leave Nigeria and go to Britain, you know, the peace will still be achieved. I can go to Saudi Arabia as a student or to perform Hajj and Umrah, I will still experience the peace we are talking about. I can go to South Africa, I will not be afraid of some people, you know, punishing me, killing me, burning me. There will be peace everywhere. That is what we are talking about. When we are talking of global unity, we are talking about unity. The unity we are talking about, I would like to categorize it into two. By the time we understand this unity in this way, sincerely yours, the globe will be at peace and unity we are talking about. The unity itself is a state of togetherness, oneness, and being in full agreement and harmony. When we are talking of unity, that doesn't mean there are no differences. Please let us understand. Unity itself is a way of harmonizing our differences in order to work together, in order to achieve the desired aims and objectives. Please let us take notes. Let me repeat myself. When we are talking of unity, unity is not synonymous with uniformity. Please, when we are talking of unity, we need to understand it also entails how to harmonize our differences in order to work together to achieve the desired aims and objectives. That is why I want to use two types of unity given by Imam Murtado Gusau here in Nigeria in one of his write-ups. He was explaining the concept of unity. He's a great Imam here in Nigeria. He said, when we are talking of unity, there are a lot of misconceptions. People sometimes, they will not understand what you really mean. He said, we have two types of unity. One is achievable. Please take note of this aspect. We are having two types of unity. One is feasible and achievable. The other one is not achievable. It is only when we understand global peace and unity in these two lines that the world will be at peace. We have unity of purpose and unity of opinion. Please let us understand. We have unity of purpose and unity of opinion. The unity of purpose, it is achievable. But unity of opinion and thoughts is not achievable. Please take note. Let me explain. We are still on the topic, global peace and unity, Islamic perspective and solutions. When we are talking of unity of purpose, we have a purpose of existence. Even in Sharia, we have Maqasidu Sharia. Maqasidu Sharia, these are aims of Islamic legislation. When we are talking of aims and objectives of Sharia, part of it is protection of people. People's properties should be protected. Their properties should not be burnt. Their properties should not be destroyed. Hifdun nafs, people's souls should be protected. Incessant killing going on around is anti-Islam. Islam has not preached killing of people just anyhow. People's souls, lives should be protected. This is one of the purposes of Sharia, for example. Even people's family, genealogy should be protected, among others. These are some of the purposes. As students, if we are studying in a particular school, our purpose of studying is nothing but acquisition of knowledge. As students, we should have unity of purpose. Anything that will disrupt academic calendar, we should move away from it. It will tamper our purpose of existence in that school. If at all we want to exercise a unity as students, that unity should be tailored towards unity of purpose. Unity of achieving our purpose, our aims, our objectives of being in a particular environment. Now, you have narrowed it down to a particular school. Now, let us take it to the world. Part of our purpose of existing in the world is to live peacefully, comfortably, without fear of being killed, without fear of being maimed, without fear of being harassed. That is part of what we tell people in Nigeria, that Nigerians is like we are still behaving as uncivilized people. Barbarism is still in our blood. Why will a teacher employed to teach students will subject them to harassment, all because they put on hijab? And the same hijab is being allowed by the white in their schools. They don't want violence in their schools. But people here in Nigeria, for example, now, you know, they are telling you, we will not allow you to uphold your religious beliefs. You can see that now. Sincerely yours, the unity of purpose is defeated. And that is achievable. It is easy to achieve. Once I've understood my purpose of existence, my purpose of being in a particular environment, I will not have problem. Our purpose of being in the world is to live there with ease, is to get our means of livelihood, is to worship our Creator. You can only worship your Creator in a peaceful and united environment where there are wars, where even forget about wars, like here in Nigeria, for example, just as a case study, there was a time there was curfew in the state. You know, people will not be able to go and observe Salatu Subuhi in congregation, all because of what? Religious crisis. Even where there is no peace, people will not worship their Lord with peace. It is only in a peaceful world, it is only in a peaceful environment we worship Allah with peace. Okay, for even see now, see the issue of COVID-19, as it has even disrupted Hajj for 2 consecutive years now. We supplicate to Allah to bring an end to this COVID-19 problem. This is not even war, it's not even crisis, so just an epidemic. People, Muslims, throughout the world, they were not able to perform, to execute a pillar, a strong pillar of Islam, Hajj, all because of pandemic. What of if there are wars everywhere? You want to take plane, you are sure that your plane will not be able to pass through some countries. You want to go there through train, probably electric train. There are wars in some of the places. We will not even be able to worship Allah. So that is why unity of purpose is easy to achieve if people, they allow it. But unity of opinion, please, this aspect is very essential. And even we as Muslims, we are greatly affected. Let us be factual. Let us be truthful with ourselves. I do tell people, till eternity, there will be opinions and opinions. No solution to that. Please take note. Till eternity, wallahi, there will continue being what? Thoughts, opinions. Some may correct, some may not correct. Not even religious opinions alone. Even worldly opinions. Even see on COVID-19 now. COVID-19 is a strictly religious matter. There are leaders in the world that go against taking COVID-19 vaccine. Except those who are not current, I don't want to mention any country. There is a leader, a president of a country who came out openly to oppose COVID-19 vaccine. Here in Nigeria, for example, now there was a governor of one of, you know, North Central states. He came out that he didn't believe in COVID-19. This is nothing but what? Opinion. Unity of opinion is not achievable. We cannot see things the same way. We cannot understand things in the same way. We cannot interpret text in the same manner. If unity of opinion is not achievable, we should not use it to affect unity of purpose. Unity of purpose will make us to live peacefully, will make us not to cause problems for one another, not to serve as, you know, reason why others will suffer. So please, we need to really understand this. But as Muslims, when we are having opinions on religious matters, because we are still looking at Islamic perspective of everything, as Muslims, where there are opinions, there are thoughts, there are views, there are differences, as a Muslim, who knows, he will stand alone before Allah, try to make findings on which one pleases Allah, which one will make you to be a good Muslim and uphold that without causing problems. Okay, now let us continue. We are now talking about global peace and unity. In the world today, there is no doubt that there is no global peace and unity. Let us be factual. As Muslims, we need to look at it from Islamic point of view. That is why the next subtopic I have here is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam approach to global peace and unity. Please take note. Our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam approach to global peace and unity. Allah raised Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet at age 40. You know, a fool of 40 is a fool forever. In fact, if possible, it will have been made a rule that those who have not reached age 40, they should not even be public speakers. But we have people who may be below 40 and they are still, you know, competent to be public speakers. If not, I will have said at least maturity sometimes matters a lot. Now, our noble prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was raised as a prophet at age 40 in Makkah al-Mukarrama. He preached monotheism, believe in oneness of Allah, for solid 13 years. Believe in oneness of Allah for solid 13 years. He then migrated. His migration was not willingly. He didn't embark on migration happily, but due to frustration, persecution of his people at Mecca, they persecuted him. They aroused him. Our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah commanded him to leave Mecca for Medina in Hijra, and he was accompanied by his best friend Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Okay, what do I want to use from this story? How did he preach global peace and unity? I will explain now. When Prophet, you know, in Mecca, he was unable to establish the Ummah, Muslim community. He was unable. In fact, all what he was doing them secretly, not publicly. It was in Medina he was able to manifest Islamic practices. Now, please take note of this aspect. If the world, they can do, if the leaders in the world, they can emulate our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sincerely yours, there will be global peace and unity. What did he do? Now, Prophet sallam was now in Yathrib. That was the name it was being called, Yathrib. That was even the original name of Medina. Medina in Arabic means town or city. Medina to Ibadan, Ibadan town or Ibadan city. Medina to Ogomasho town. Medina to Kano town. Medina to Yobe or Medina to Damaturu or Medina to Ghana, whatever. Medina is Arabic word, it means town or city. The name of the town was Yathrib. Prophet when he reached Medina, Yathrib, he met different tribes, different people of different religions and ideologies, as a leader who wanted peace and unity. Prophet Allah, he did something. In fact, non-Muslim historians, they really appreciated him. Non-Muslim historians, they appreciated our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for what he did. What did he do? Our noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one that firstly made constitution. The historians have said it, even non-Muslim historians, they have said it. And that constitution is called Medina Constitution. Whoever has time can see, if it's even available in Wikipedia, there is translation there, 47 different constitutions. They made it Constitution 1, Constitution 2, Constitution up to 47. It has been translated to English. In that constitution, if one could study it very well, one will understand a kind of leader our noble prophet Muhammad Sallam is. He was always after peace. He was always after unity. He was not after violence, crisis, or wars. Even all the battles he fought, they were, it was like he was compelled. Now, let me go to where I'm going. In that treaty, Prophet Salam, there was a kind of treaty. When he reached Medina, he did a lot of things. He built his mosque. This is spiritual achievement, where Muslims will be meeting, where they will be worshipping Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did al-mu'akhad, bayn al-muhajirin wal-ansar. He established strong brotherhood between people of Makkah and Medina. He now did Medina Constitution. This Medina Constitution, he invited all the tribes in Medina. He invited different adherents of religions, most especially people who were living in Medina then, majority of them were Jews. And the Jews in Medina, they were like different tribes. Prophet Salam invited them. He now taught them, this our Medina is a new community. We need to have a kind of treaty. We need to have agreements. We need to have code of conduct. We need to have guiding constitution that will make us to live in harmony. It will make us to live in unity. It will make us to live peacefully. And they all agreed that this man is after unity. Okay. Part of this treaty, probably let me just make reference to two or three. That will guide us whether Prophet Salam, he was after global peace or not. Part of it is that the Jews, Al-Yahud, they are recognized as part of the Yathrib community. Please take note. Let me explain this because of the time. The Jews, they are not the original occupants or citizens of Medina. You know the Jews now, they migrated, they traveled to Medina, and they have reasons. They have read it in their book that the last prophet will be raised in Arabian Peninsula. They thought the last prophet would be the Jew. When he was an Arab, they were envious. They are like foreigners in Medina. Jews, they are never the rightful occupants of Medina. The Prophet Salam, he wanted peace. He invited all of them. The original citizens of Medina, they are Aus and Khazraj. And this Aus and Khazraj, they are two tribes. They usually fought. Small thing, they will fight. Prophet Salam invited all of them. Those who have accepted Islam, they are with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those who did not accept Islam, Prophet Salam still had agreement with them. Part of the agreement is that you are recognized. You will be living in this community. Yathrib. You get it now? Now, part of it is that if there will be any issue, I, as the new leader, I will serve as a kind of mediator. I will be mediating. I will make sure all these small issues that will result in what? Serious wars, I will mediate. Not only that, the Jews, the Muslims, the Aus, the Khazraj, whoever, we should not allow external forces. Please take note of this. We will not allow external enemies, external forces to combat us, to fight us, to destroy our community, to demolish our buildings, among other information contained in that Medina constitution. Prophet Salam, he was a signatory to the constitution. The Jews, they were signatories to the constitution. Please, if we want to explain this in the contemporary time, we know what it entails. This was a leader who was after peaceful coexistence and harmony. And alhamdulillah, with the Medina constitution, they were living in peace, in unity. All these tribal wars, tribal clashes, drastically reduced. But what later happened? It was the Jews, the Jewish community. They betrayed our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They betrayed Muslim Ummah, and that led to Battle of Khaybar, among other battles that later happened. Please, if we study this Medina constitution very well, this Medina constitution, Prophet Salam has given room for peace, for unity. Live and let us live. That was the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If this approach, if this methodology could be adopted by the leaders in the world today, sincerely, there will be peaceful coexistence. Whereby you appreciate, you tell others who do not see things the way you see it, that you are safe, you are protected. Only that, don't serve as enemies of this peaceful nation. But see what is happening now, whereby some people, they will be subjected to torture. They will be subjected to humiliation. They will be subjected to mass killing. Where is the peaceful coexistence we are talking about? Now, let us briefly discuss causes of global disunity and disharmony. We are talking about global peace and unity. The opposite is nothing than global disunity, global disharmony, global conflict. Certain things caused it, not Islam. Number one is nothing than al-zulmu. Al-zulmu. Wa adamul adli wal jawr. Oppression. Injustice. That is number one issue that usually causes global conflicts, global disharmony, whereby some leaders or individuals in a particular nation. They are acting, you know, they are oppressing others living in their domain. They are dealing with others with injustice. They deal with them unjustly. Sincerely, there won't be peace and unity we are talking about. How will you make unity and peace with someone that is oppressing you? Things are not done in that. That is why in Islam, oppression is seriously disallowed in Islam. We should understand this. In Islam, injustice is frowned at. As a Muslim, you should not oppress people. You should not deal with people unjustly. Let us really understand this. Number two is the issue of intolerance. Intolerance, religious intolerance, religious bigotry. By the way, people are bigots. You know, they are intolerant. They are not even ready to tolerate people that uphold religion other than theirs. There will be global disharmony. There will be global crisis. See this Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the constitution of Medina I was referring to. This constitution gave everybody right to exist comfortably, peacefully. Where there is religious intolerance, it is one of the causes of global crisis. Number three is disparaging and inciting publications. Disparaging and inciting publications. There are some books, some journals being published to tarnish image of some people. Where we want to experience global peace and global unity in Islam, we don't do that. Islam doesn't support, you know, disparaging people. Why will you do that? To the extent of documenting it, and what you are writing is nothing but fallacies. See what people have written about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are books people have written to incite violence, if not for calmness, maturity displayed, it will have led to problems. So please, this is another issue. Number four is sensational journalism. Journalists, they can cause global crisis. The way they report happenings and occurrences, the titles they give to it, even without reading the content, you will know this title creates more problems than it solves. Please, that is why journalists, they need to fear Allah. Whatever they pen down, they will be held accountable for it before Allah the Almighty in the hereafter. We should be conscious of this. The issue of domination, a particular set of people attempting to dominate others, that will cause global crisis. Why must you dominate some other people? See our role model, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he dominate the Jews? That because of his approach, his manners, his behavior, people were embracing Islam en masse. Iza jaa nasrullahi wal fatih. Islam remains the fastest growing religion in the world, except in Africa. Africans, they are still barbaric up to now. They are still uncivilized. That is why you see all these religious wars, religious crises that could be averted if they follow prophetic approach. Islam will be growing because in a peaceful environment, people will listen to Islam. Islam is a natural religion. You may not need to quote 1 million Quranic verses. You may not need to read 200 books. Islam is too natural. But in an environment where there is no peace, where there is no harmony, people may not even accept Islam. Inshallah, 5 more minutes. Thanks. So let us take note of this. Okay, let me leave that aspect. Another issue is that there are hindrances and obstacles to global peace and unity we are talking about. We need to take note of this. Number one is ego, pride, arrogance from probably some nations or some leaders. So let us take note of this. Please, let us take note. Another issue is the whimsical desire. Whimsical desire. Where you see people, they use their whims and caprices. It is only what they think they see as the correct thing. We may not achieve global peace, I think we are talking about. Then those who have profound love for materialism and leadership, they cause global crisis because they make huge amount of money from it. So when there is no stability in the world, when there is no peace in the world, they make money from it. So these are part of things we need to understand. Now, in environments where there is peace and unity, what are the benefits, the advantages, the merits of having, you know, global peace and unity? The number one is even the issue of what? Spiritual development. People who worship Allah with ease. They pray 5 times daily in the mosque. They organize lectures. Their children go to the mosque, to the madrasa. Their wives use hijab. They study medicine, nursing, pharmacy, law with ease. Not as it is happening in Nigeria now. Whereby there are brilliant ones, but they are afraid of what? Of religious intolerance. So that is why you see some people, let me just go for a course where they will not disturb me with my religion. You know, even spiritually we develop. There will be economic development. There will be political stability. There will be mutual love among people. The security will be there. No one will be running after another. In a peaceful environment where you are living peacefully, let us take note of all this. But where they are not living peacefully now, there will be disruption of social, economic, political, spiritual activities. Loss of lives will be order of the day. A lot of lives will be lost. Anarchy, lawlessness will be order of the day. That it is happening in our country now. The issue of Boko Haram is there. The issue of bandits is there. The issue of dual people is there. The issue of IPOB is there. In an environment where there is no global peace, please take note. Take note. Where there is no global peace, there will be lawlessness. People will take law into their hands. There will be a lot of disruption. Unhealthy rivalries, incessant killing, inflation of prices, among others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. To round off the lecture, because of the time, what are the Islamic solutions? That's what I'll round off the lecture with. Number one is nothing than justice, al-adl. Where we want to achieve global peace and unity, there must be justice. Justice to everyone. No one should be dealt with unjustly. That's number one. Number two is religious tolerance. We should tolerate one another. Number three is taqwa Allah. We need to be God-fearing. By the time we are God-fearing, yawma yakumu nasu لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. If you cause problem, you cause crisis, Allah will ask you in the hereafter, all the lives lost during the crisis, sincerely yours, you'll be held accountable. See the authentic hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. The first person that killed was the child of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. He killed his brother unlawfully, unjustly. And Prophet salam said, till eternity, till the day of resurrection, whoever kills, Qabil will have a share of it. If you cause global crisis, global disharmony, you share from it in the hereafter. So only if one is what? One is God-fearing. Truthfulness. We should be truthful to everybody. Then peaceful dialogue. Peaceful what? Peaceful dialogue could solve some of the crises, some of the problems among others. Advice. As Muslims, we should understand that Islam is Allah's religion. We should understand Islam is easily practiced in environment where one can worship Allah with peace and unity. By the time there is no peace in any environment, everything will turn to be observing your salat inside your house. Muslims will not be able to come together. And if you study Islam, Allah himself has told us that there are a lot of things that are preaching unity in Islam. Number one, our love is one. Allah is pointing to nothing but what? Unity. Number two is our Qibla. Throughout the world, we face only one Qibla. This is pointing to nothing than unity. Number three, our Quran. We have only one Quran throughout the world. This is pointing to nothing than unity. The way we observe Salat in the same manner. This is pointing to nothing than unity. Majority of things, our hands, we do at the same time. We stay at Arafah, the same Arafah. All these point to nothing than Muslims should be advocates of peace and unity, the way I've presented it, to the best of my understanding, most especially unity of purpose. That will make us to have headway. It makes us to achieve. It makes people to embrace Islam. And that is why Islam still remains the fastest growing religion in the world, except in Africa. We need to verify why. There are a lot of crises in Africa. No stability in Africa. Poverty is there in Africa. Ignorance is at peak in Africa. See the environment where they understand this. Muslims preach. They go to villages. We do monitor it online. You see, they even collect, you know, donations from people to spread Islam. That will only be possible where there is peace and unity. Islam is better practiced in an environment that experiences that. May Allah forgive the speaker and the listeners. May he make the lecture understood better than the way it has been kindly presented. And forgive me where I've erred. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام